గ్రేస్ నావిగేట్ చేయాలి ప్రభుజీ. వెల్కమ్ టు భక్తి సంఘ జప కాన్ఫరెన్స్. సో టుడేస్ క్లాస్ విల్ బి గివెన్ బై హిస్ గ్రేస్ రామగిరి దారి ప్రభుజీ ఆన్ ద టాపిక్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ చైతన్య. థ్యాంక్ యూ ప్రభుజీ. హరే కృష్ణ. వెల్కమ్. ప్లీజ్ ఎక్సెప్ట్ మై హంబల్ ఓకెసెన్సెస్ ఆర్ గురు ప్రభుపాన్ అండ్ గురు గురు మహారాజ్. థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్ ఫర్ గివింగ్ యువర్ వెరీ థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్ ఫర్ giving your valuable time and association this morning. Thank you, Prabhuji. Please, and enlightening us on this topic. Please, take over the call now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for engaging me in this service. And so wonderful to be in the assembly of devotees to discuss wonderful science of Krishna consciousness. So before we start our discussion, let's offer some prayers.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ఓమ జ్ఞానతిమిరాందస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయా చక్షురున్మిలితం యేనాం తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్నితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్త వృందం. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
దేర్ ఇస్ అ వెరీ నైస్ సాంగ్ బై వాసు ఘోష్ వాసుదేవ ఘోష్. హి హస్ వెరీ నైస్లీ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ the glorious appearance of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yadi gaur na hoy to tabe ki hoy to ke mone dhari tambe.
Had Gauranga Mahaprabhu not been there, who would have come and taught us
Radha Mahima Prema Rasa Seema Jagate Janatoke?
Who would have taught us the love of Radha and Krishna? So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya, is now explaining to Sanatana Goswami the deeper science of Krishna consciousness. It is amazing that when Krishna himself is teaching about the process of loving him, Krishna himself is teaching about the stages through which one has to go through, Krishna himself is teaching what is the destination and how great that is. Unfortunately, many men in this Kali Yuga does not recognize, understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna himself. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, without whose mercy some of us, at least me for sure, would have also been in the same line of philosophy that Chaitanya is a great saint. In India, everybody accepts Chaitanya, but they don't consider him as Krishna himself. For those of us who are blessed in the Gaudiya Vaishnava process, we only know, at least theoretically, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So it is now Krishna is teaching about the devotional service in attachment, chapter 13 of teachings of Lord Chaitanya. There are several wonderful, surprising, interesting observations that one can note when they very deeply analyze the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatana Goswami. I will list a few of them. As usual, we will churn this section of teachings of Lord Chaitanya through some sets of reflections. So maybe the first reflection is about the most interesting observations or the points to note. Whilst Krishna consciousness or the highest form of Krishna consciousness does not have any rules, any regulations, it is simply imbued with love and only love and sentiments. But beginning of Krishna consciousness is only rules and regulations. We are coming from chapter 12 to chapter 13, so we should know, and this is the most interesting aspect of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, where the philosophy is presented as a science and not just as some sentiment. So, in the list of things that are interesting to note, very interesting, number one is the culmination is only love and deeper sentiment and nothing to do with rules and regulations. But the beginning is what you all would have discussed in chapter 12 is about rules and regulations. And number two is about in the progressive stage, even at the time of developing devotional service in attachment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very careful in explaining not to misunderstand our amateurish sentiment vis-a-vis our matured sentiment. He is giving a classification in the stages of serious devotion. What we are going to discuss in this chapter is about stages after Ashakti, Ruchi, Bhava, Prema kind of conversation. We are almost coming to the fag end of Sanatana Siksha. Probably in next three chapters, we will come to the end of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Sanatana Goswami. So, Mahaprabhu wanted to make sure that we correctly identify the difference between amateurish early sentiments desires, matured and deeper sentiments. Sentiments are there, needed. But it is imbued with the science. So Mahaprabhu is giving classification, differentiation, bifurcation, so that we don't just get carried away by some false feelings and false propaganda, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur exposed. 13 different classifications of apasampradayas Bhaktivinoda Thakur exposed, and almost all of them, they were false exhibitors of devotional sentiments. So Mahaprabhu here is being very careful as he is taking us to another level from chapter. Of course, this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is in a different chapter altogether. It is in Madhya Leela. You would have discussed Madhya Leela chapter 23. This all things are discussed. But then Mahaprabhu is very careful in ensuring that we don't fall prey to them. The third interesting update you will see here is, as much as Mahaprabhu explained, Mahaprabhu is telling to Sanatana Goswami that he is not getting into the detail of all of them. He is just giving some sampling. If what is explained is just a sampling, then what it is about the details? Prabhupada is writing in this chapter, Lord Chaitanya told him that since there is really no end to describing the system of devotional service with attachment, he is simply trying to offer a sampling. Typically, whoever works in statistics, you know, or whoever is an engineer, whatever that is, sampling means only one, like a little sample of a whole lot, a little pinch, a little quantity. All these wonderful descriptions are just a sampling, and there is no end to it. So, which means he is leaving us to develop our loving devotion in such a manner there is no boundary. And fourth, he is going to explain later that he is asking Sanatana Goswami to compile a detailed literature wherein whatever he has imparted has to be elaborated. Which means this loving devotional service has got potential to get scaled up, potential to grow proportionate to the sincerity the sadhaka beholds. And Mahaprabhu is entrusting Sanatana Goswami with such a responsibility, knowing absolutely sure that he is qualified enough to expand this. Which means bhakti is not in the hands of the Lord. Bhakti is in the hands of a Bhagavata, because the Lord is in the hand of a Bhagavata. So the Lord is handing over bhakti to a Bhagavata and saying, my dear friend, this is actually, you are the owner, because you own me. ಕೋಮಾರ ಹೃದಯ ಸದಾ ಗೋವಿಂದ ವಿಶ್ರಾಮ್ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಕೋಹೇ ನಮೋರ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಪರ ಯು ಓನ್ ಮೀ ಸೊ ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಐ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಗಿವ್ ಯು ಸಮ್ ಟಿಪ್ಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ದಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 15 ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬುಕ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸೀ ದಟ್ There Sanatana Goswami is pleading to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, My dear sir, please forgive me. What you are entrusting upon me, I cannot do it. And he is putting himself in a very low shoes. He is saying that how fallen I am. I am the person who had compromised my janam, my birth to making money, position, knowledge. So how can I execute this? But how can I deny your order? So now you only have to give me some directions. Then the Lord is giving table of contents. What all Sanatana Goswami has to write. The point here is, The Lord is only giving directions and perspective and giving the entire onus to a Bhagavata. So if any of us are searching bhakti from Krishna, it is not with Krishna. Bhakti is with Bhagavata only. When you go to a Bhagavata, you will get bhakti. If you go to Krishna, all you will get is A direction pointing fingers to a Bhagavata. If at all we go to Krishna thinking that Krishna will give us some blessing, some solution, some this, some that, nothing he will give. All he will show is he'll point fingers. He'll show some directions. He will immediately, you know, remove some sins, wins, all those things. You know, he'll clean you up. He'll make you clean. Just because you got in touch with him. Not he will do his, you know, his parshadas will take care of you to be. Because you got darshan of Krishna, the parshadas will take care of your cleanliness part. They'll clean you of all your nonsense. But the love, bhakti, Krishna cannot give. It is there with Bhagavata because Krishna is also there with Bhagavata. And that is what here is amazing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami, you develop it further. And the last interesting aspect as a part of the first reflection is, if you see the different stages of faith, starting from Shraddha to Prema, I was analyzing this morning, whilst the Sanskrit words sound very intriguing. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti. But if you read the English version of it, Srila Prabhupada is giving what Rupa Goswami had given in Bhaktila Samrata Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada is giving what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoken. Srila Prabhupada is giving the same references from 3-4 places. You will see refinement. Love or the traces of devotion began, or the devotional seed got sown much, much earlier. But as the stages, as we are progressing through the stages, there are several refinements that are happening. We are going through several stages of purification, which signifies that The Lord does not want to sell himself so easily. The Lord wants to say that if I am giving myself to someone, that should be someone really up there. If you want money, take it. If you want power, take it. If you want followers, take it. If you want position, take it. If you want anything, take it. But if you want me, endure. Somebody wants money, what? They don't even need to go to Krishna. In the sense that Krishna, for that, Lakshmi Sahasra Sada Samprama Sevya Mano. People think that Krishna is after our money. There's a funny ideologies in Indian families. Please don't keep Parthasarathi Krishna's picture in your house. There'll be fight in your house. Don't keep Krishna with a flute. He'll blow away all the wealth in your house. Stupid people. If Krishna has to blow away, Krishna can blow away anything anyhow. So Krishna saying, very clear message. If you want me, then you have to go through this process of endeavor and mercy imbued together. So the stages of devotional service, devotion, bhakti in attachment is very interesting. So my first reflection itself is about the interesting component of this particular topic. So we are not dealing with some amateurish, some sentimental ideology. We are talking about the science from the Lord and by through an experienced self-realized soul. So what a privilege we all have. And hence, let's not just take this process lightly. The second reflection in this particular chapter is about this process of refinement and an associated message that Srila Prabhupada is giving. Srila Prabhupada is giving a strong warning what to watch out for whilst you are refining yourself in this process. He's saying, please don't be a sahajya. Srila Prabhupada is very particular. Of course, this is not only Prabhupada's message, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and several people have stated this. Devotional service with attachment is natural, and one who has been attracted by it does not care for any arguments against his conviction, even though such arguments may be presented according to scriptural injunctions. We'll come to that. The natural inclination to devotional service with attachment is also based on scriptural injunction. Thus, one who has attachment for such devotional service is not required to give it up simply on the strength of scriptural argument. In this connection, we should note that the class of so-called devotees known as Prakriti Sahajiyas follow their own concocted ideas and representing themselves as Krishna and Radha indulge in debauchery. Such devotional service with attachment is false. Even though I have not gone to the core part of our conversation, I just want to touch base on this as a part of the refinement. Prabhupada wanted to warn, because some people say, how can love have rules? Which is partially true. How can love will have knowledge imbued? Which is partially true. Depends upon in what context, what perspective one is coming from. But what the warning here is, simply rejecting scriptural arguments, simply rejecting or simply accepting some half-cooked ideologies without adopting a very procedural and guided approach, one's concocted ideas will be classified as cheating. This could be self-cheating as well as cheating to the society. So one has to be extremely careful, at least In devotional service, let us not cheat ourselves and not cheat others. Anyway, outside of this devotional service, the world that we are living in is filled with bunch of cheaters and cheated. Some of them are us only, some of our friends and families. And so we are surrounded by fifth class men who wants to cheat and misguide the society, at least to the least of the extent. We should make sure that we should not fall prey to such cheaters in Krishna consciousness, in the name of devotion. Unfortunately, when we get cheated, our entire devotional journey gets severely delayed. We have seen that in our friends, in our own lives. When we are installing our trust and faith and surrender to a person, and when we get to realize that we have been cheated, whilst the mistake should be upon ourselves first, before the other person who cheated upon us, we naturally want to blame someone else. So we blame the process, we blame the person, and eventually we condemn. All the fall downs in Krishna consciousness, we blame somebody else and seldom blame us. So I want to highlight this point, saying that in our journey to Krishna consciousness, we can be slow, but we have to be firm. In our journey to Krishna consciousness, we can have tottering, little wobbly journey, but not a backward reverse journey. We can have some stagnancy, but we should not be cheated. So it is important that the mindset and the perspective of our acharyas are inherited, because they have clearly given us an indication that this Krishna consciousness means a serious business. So don't take it for granted, and don't try to just, you know, handle it with lax. Third reflection is about the purification process by itself. Many a times I have wondered, I'm not sure if you all have, I've always thought, why so many stages of refinement? It's loving Krishna, right? It's loving Krishna, just love Krishna. But then, when I have gone through few experiences, I realized that there is so much detail between a set of statements, which unless and otherwise we go through some experience, we will not realize. For example, initially, a person may be enthusiastic. Let us talk about the Krishna conscious journey itself, not the, you know, Kanishtas and others. We'll talk about the core Krishna conscious period. Somebody who has already, you know, been Krishna consciousness, chanting few rounds, showing some seriousness, come to the level of initiation. So let us talk about that cloud of people. So we show some enthusiasm. Yes, yes, Prabhuji, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to host. I'm ready to do this. We are very enthusiastic. Suppose, for example, your enthusiasm is facilitated. Yes, Prabhuji, please take care of this devotee, you know, for some time. Please give him prasadam. What is the next immediate question we'll ask? For how many days, Prabhuji? Initially, we said, we are happy, excited, consider this as our greatest fortune to serve a Vaishnava. If it is the greatest fortune, should we ever want it to be stopped? Technically, no. Theoretically, no. but consciously, yes, because they are still self-obsessed people. We want everything to be done for us, for our pleasure, and nobody should come in the territory of my enjoyment and excitement. The stages of refinement that Srila Prabhupada is talking about, Rati and Bhava are two things here, because these two are some stages which we can't define by just words and knowledge, that has to be experienced. That's why Prabhupada is writing that the only way by which one can develop this is to by picking up a devotee and following him. That's why I said only by a Bhagavata bhakti can be, you know, earned. So coming back to the point that I want to say, it's the greatest fortune, Prabhuji, to host you in my house. It's the greatest fortune, Maharaj, to serve you. It's the greatest fortune to serve. Suppose, for example, you say that no, forever you should do this. Suppose there is no timeline attached. And that's when the problem starts, you know. One day excitement is there. Second day excitement is there. Third day excitement is there. Fourth day, they're starting to feel like a burden. Depends upon how close, how deep, how much surrendered we are. There is a break-even point. Suppose there is no break-even point. You are able to manage it till 6 months, assume. And just hypothetically speaking, very nicely, excitedly, enthusiastically, you are able to serve. Suppose 6th month, 2nd day, that Prabhu or Maharaj or Mataji or whoever that person shouted at you or, you know, gave you some accusation or did something which you didn't like. What will we do? 6 months I damn served you. Is this how you respond back? Immediately start to claim credit. Suppose you have not even taken credit. Let's be more pure about that. Suppose that person or Maharaj or whoever that is going to give some gifts, but did not give that gift to you. Our heart feels longing. I did so much. Do I not deserve a gift? So like that, we can go on and on and on and on and on and go over several stages of analyzing. And when you analyze, at least 10 different vices will come out in this experience. That is why refinement is required. And the interesting part of that is, those vices need to be identified, removed, root cause analysis to be done, and no more that vice to be come in, such a protection needs to be put in, and next stage is to be gone in. That is how devotional service needs to be developed. I can list few vices. Madhurya Kadamani is listing several. Madhurya Kadamani is listing 6 of them. We have spoken about it several times. But there are a few more. So these are all, in when describing about Anishtata Bhajana Kriya, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura is explaining about few symptoms, few unclear behavioral patterns that comes out. The reason I'm explaining that aspect now here is because here we are talking about refinement. Prabhupada is talking about in this paragraph how several stages one go through. From the initial faith, till the stage of love, familiarity, complacency, superiority complex, inferiority complex, fault finding nature, too close too soon and become disrespectful, finding faults at our own quote unquote beloved senior. So many layers will open up, developing false bodily attachment, possessiveness over that person, mood swings, sometimes thinking positive about that person, sometimes not so much thinking positive about that person. These are all not publicly stated. These are all some feelings and emotions. Those are all sitting in the core of our heart and might yet come out as you go deeper and deeper in devotional, and they also need to be cleansed out. Otherwise, it might not help us to develop pure devotional service. It will be always with adulteration. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining, as you progress, that is why they say, the more you associate with devotees, what symptoms one needs to keep checking, how much I am able to enjoy, how much I am able to recognize the feelings of happiness vis-a-vis the frustration, that will tell you, are we in the right track or not. The more and more I hear about same Krishna Katha, the more and more I hear the, you know, same philosophy, the more and more I'm associating with the same context, same service, same person, same position, same service, everything. Your excitement, ecstasy, enthusiasm increases. You're feeling bored, familiarity, complacency decreases. Then we are on the absolute right track. If the experience is otherwise, and there is something to still work on. It's okay, we are on the track, but we need to still, you know, work on. I think I mentioned this before. Pankajangiri Prabhu, he met one politician in UK. So the politician was, to the politician, Pankajangiri Prabhu was introduced as Srila Prabhupada's direct disciple. And they said that since 1972, 71, 73, whatever that is, that he had been serving Shri Radha Madhava in Mayapur Dham as a pujari. So the politician asked, this was in 1989 or 1995, whatever that is. So what are you now, sir? So Pankajangiri Prabhu said, I'm still a pujari. Said, since 1971 till now, almost 40 years, you're still a pujari? Don't you grow up in the ladder in the organization? Don't you grow up in the organization? Pankajangiri Prabhu gave a wonderful response. Who said I have not grown? In the materialistic context, growth is from the perspective of power and position. But in Krishna consciousness context, growth is in the perspective of consciousness and attitude. To an extent, your consciousness grows to such an extent, you have an attitude of love for Krishna, but in action you default. I repeat that statement. We have a highest attitude of loving Krishna, but in action, we are not in the perfect. Like Sanatana Goswami used to worship Madan Mohan. Every day, Sanatana Goswami used to get Madhukari. He used to make chapati, roti without salt. no sabjis, dry, he used to offer to Madan Mohan. One day Madan Mohan asked Sanatana Goswami, "Boy, this is not fair. At least give me sabjis some days, no. At least give some salt. Give me something, Baba. How many days I will eat the same dry, saltless roti?" Sanatana Goswami responded, "I am a poor mendicant beggar, Baba. You may be Braja Raj, Braja Nidhi, you may be Dwarakadish, or maybe Madan Mohan, you may be a king. But I am a beggar. If you are in my house, this is what you will get. Just for feeding you, I cannot complicate my life. I have another choice. Probably I can, you know, make some arrangement and get you wonderful prasadam. Please can proceed. I will continue with my bhajana." Madan Mohan said, No, I want to be with you. Okay, I'm okay with no saltless chapatis." Highest level of love. Highest level of love. So what is given utmost preference and importance is about our attitude and consciousness, not even the action, imperfections of our action, even though if it is, they are ignored because your love, affinity, attachment, consciousness is superlative in nature. So the third stage of, the third reflection that I want to bring in here is about these refinements are not just some bureaucratic or some sort of scriptural jargons. They really mean refinement in our heart. They really mean we layer by layer by layer by layer by layer cleans ourselves up, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated in Gundicha Marjan. Whole Gundicha Marjan symbolizes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed the cleansing process. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, we are 2 minutes noodles category. We cannot wait for anything more than 2 minutes. Our patience is that much. That much. If somebody could wait, that's a great achievement. YouTube has done a research. That skip ad button is done based on some research. Gopala Bhatta Prabhu mentioned in one of the ILS meeting, they said that the timing that they have calculated, they said that is a maximum, or not a maximum, that's a time in which somebody can be, you know, intrigued. So, and there are several such research in terms of retention time. Somebody else also mentioned, I think it was Vajvihari Prabhu, also mentioned that a person cannot constantly look at a presentation or a lecture or anything beyond a certain amount of time in the normal course of discussion. Because there are different studies are there. But the message here is that in the growth in Krishna consciousness, the refinement is something very important. The fourth reflection is about Bhakti Vinod Thakur's, as well as Srila Prabhupada's statement in this particular chapter on 9 symptoms of a person in the stage of bhava. Actually, this particular chapter, as well as the previous chapter, is in itself a series that somebody can do because so much depth is there in this. We are not even scratching on the surface of this topic. Each and every word, every sentence could be elaborated, because at the end, this is what is Krishna consciousness. Rest, everything else is chilka. We are just peeling off the several layers, and this is the core about which we are supposed to live for eternity. So better we spend time, energy, and, you know, our heart put into this. Of course, we have several more lifetimes to do that, at least for me, who has not yet even finish the basics. So Prabhupada explains that 9 symptoms of bhava. The same thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying in some place, I forgot the name. So those are, number one, it is there in the paragraph, in one of the paragraphs in this chapter itself. So I made it as a part of Lord Chaitanya next described the symptoms of a person who has developed from faith to the stage of bhava. Such a person is 9 points. Number one, tolerant and unperturbed even when distress come over him. This is my running English, but the paragraph talks about all of them. Number two, averse to wasting time. Number three, utilize all the time in Krishna's service. Prabhupada writes here that even if he has no engagement, he will find some work to do for Krishna's satisfaction. That is what is bhava. Fourth, pridelessness. Prabhupada writes here, nor does such a person like anything which is not connected with Krishna. Although he is situated in the best position, he does not hanker after prize. So pridelessness is fourth. Fifth, complete conviction that he will attain Lord's lotus feet. Prabhupada writes here, he is confident in his work. He is never under the impression that he is not making progress toward the supreme goal of life. So he is not worried. Sometimes we may be doubtful. Oh, am I really connected to the right progress? Is it in the real path? Or maybe somebody else is saying that this Maharaj, that Gaudiya Mutt, this Mutt, that Baba, this. So many confusions we may get because of certain challenges you would have faced in your own congregation. Maybe some devotee would have scolded you, or you may be mistreated, or you may have not been given prasadam in the first batch. Or you may have whatever, some experiences, we'll start to get so many doubts. Oh, am I in the right path? We'll go on Google. Maybe is there any other, anyone else have got similar experience? Should we go and explore other groups? No. Aslishyava padaratam pinashtumam adarshanat marmahatam karotuvam yata tatava vidatatu lappato matprananatastu sayeva napraha. Whether you come in front of me, does not come, break my heart, you are my worshipable Lord. I have no other, solace, no other go. Prahlad Maharaj is telling Narsingdev, don't allure me with your, gifts. I don't need your gifts. Or, not that I don't need your gifts. I may get carried away by your gifts. So, please, don't think that just by you giving gifts, you have to prove me as your master. You are my master unconditionally, sir. Unconditional. So the point is, a person in the stage of bhava is having complete conviction that he will attain Lord's good. He will. Takshishyati Vishvasa. Six, extremely eager and anxious to attain perfection. Perfection here is not quote unquote material perfection. This is purity of consciousness. That's perfection. Seventh, strong attachment for hearing and chanting. He is very much attached to gratifying the Lord and in chanting or hearing about the Lord. That's what Prabhupada is writing. And eighth, no interest that has no interest in Krishna. Prabhupada writes here that he does not want to do anything apart from hearing Krishna Katha. He is always attached to describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And the ninth, last, is love for Dham. He also wants to live in holy places like Mathura, Vrindavan, Dwaraka. All these characteristics are visible in one who has developed to the stage of bhava. So this is my fourth reflection as part of this conversation. And the last reflection, the fifth one, which I really thought that I would spend a lot of time on, which is very close to my heart. But then in 7 minutes, I will not be able to do justice, but I'll still share. Devotional service in attachment has got two components. In the sense, it is not about, not only just about devotees being attached to Krishna. It is Krishna developing attachment very much towards that devotee. In Vrindavan, because it is a Ragatmika, which is Raga or transcendental attachment, Atmika means, you know, something there. Prabhupada writes, the devotional service discharged with such deep attachment and with consequent deep absorption in the object of love is called Ragatmika. So, Vrindavan, the entire Vrindavan, we cannot define the activities in Vrindavan by any material logic. We cannot define entire Vrindavan by any material philosophy, science, behavioral pattern, nothing. It has to be only love. Because the language in Vrindavan is love. And when we are in that frame of consciousness, the price is love, the transaction is love, and everything is love. And unfortunately, we do not have a remembrance of how we used to love Krishna before. And we also do not have an equivalent to be seen exactly in the same manner in our own materialistic world. That is why Prabhupada writes here that one has to follow a Vrindavana devotee as a role model and try to develop this attachment towards, develop this stage of bhava. I'll just read that portion. Devotional service with attachment can be executed in two ways, externally and internally. Externally, the devotee strictly follows the regulative principles beginning with chanting and hearing, while internally he thinks of the attachment which attracts him to serve the Supreme Lord. Indeed, he always thinks of his special devotional service and attachment. Such a real devotee's attachment does not violate the regulative principles of devotional service, and he adheres to them strictly. Yet, within his mind, he always thinks of his particular attachment. This is unique to Gaudiya Vaishnavas. This may not necessarily be the case in, you know, the general description, because it is not vividly seen there. I'm not saying the devotees in Vrindavan never followed rules and regulations. But here, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, especially Goswamis, they have ensured, demonstrated that they have been following strict sadhana, their regime, and carried Vrindavan consciousness. Because it is important for Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to define in this manner, otherwise unscrupulous men can take it for granted and try to kill the rules and regulations which is governing from all the nonsenses. But technically speaking, in pure love, there are rules and regulations, but it's not in the form of rules and regulations, but they all have become natural routine, natural personality. It is like Krishna consciousness never then become a part of somebody's life. Krishna consciousness becomes the way of life. And Krishna consciousness is the life. So that way, rules and regulations are blended into that person's lifestyle. Prabhupada Sattva writes, all the inhabitants of Brajabhumi are very dear to Krishna. A devotee selects one of them and follows in his footsteps in order to be successful in his own devotional service. This only statement justifies why we are supposed to follow the footsteps of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just by following Srila Prabhupada, you will eventually get what is bhava. You will eventually get to know, experience, get situated in the stage of prema. Because I have not even touched the surface of what is bhava and prema. But since we are talking about that subject, it is important that pure devotee discharge. A pure devotee discharging devotional service with attachment always follows in the footsteps of a personality of Vrajabhumi. It is advised in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu that such a pure devotee should always remember the activities of a particular inhabitant of Vraja, even though he is not able to live in Vraja. In this way, he can always think of Vraja. This is the secret to develop our Vrindavana consciousness. Yearning for Vrindavana, desiring for Vrindavana, longing for Vrindavana, as Krishna is longing for you and me to come back to Him. On this day on the recent Gopashtami, we discussed elaborately about the pastime underlying Gopashtami. We had been to a Yatra, Pandharpur Yatra. So we went to a Goshala and did some puja. We did 3 days Gopashtami. Of course, 3 days Yatra. But incidentally, all the 3 days we discussed about Krishna's Vrindavana pastime, especially underpinning Gopashtami Lila. So we could discuss about how in Vrindavan, each and every inhabitant of Vrindavan had a unique relationship with Krishna, bond with Krishna, care for Krishna, love for Krishna, and how Krishna also had all of them. So this devotional service in attachment is just simply not some sort of a materialistic sentiment. So the reason I'm insisting this point, and sorry that we didn't have time, otherwise I want to share a few pastimes to make this technical class to some sort of a enjoyable one also. Sometimes technical discussions are a little heavy, but then it's okay. You all are very self-realized, so you'll be able to forgive me for that. The point is that in all these stories and all this philosophical discussion, the core message is that love for Krishna, love by Krishna. That's what Prabhupada says. The success of Krishna consciousness is such that the spiritual master turns toward the disciple and Krishna gives a smile. So if we somehow are able to achieve that at some stage in our life, so we should consider our mission success and just keep following in that path, and a day will come where we will be given entrance into the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan Dham, where we can happily, eternally serve Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar. So thanks to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has enlightened this science. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, without whom we would have not even known who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Thanks to all my seniors and all of you, without whose help and blessings I would have not been able to, not even touch the surface of this topic. And last but not least, I humbly submit myself, the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas, to please bestow their blessings so that at some day in my life, I'll be able to develop this consciousness of devotional service in attachment. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Any questions or comments, I'll be happy to respond. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much. Such a beautiful class. I loved all the points that you mentioned and the way you analyzed it. Especially one thing about Krishna, what he does is he just shows a Mahabhagavat to us, and because he resides in the heart of such a great Bhagavata, so that is his only main reciprocation with us. He always points out to Bhagavata. That is so beautiful and that is so true, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Such beautiful lessons for today. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any other questions, comments, reflections?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhu. Very, very, you know, thought-provoking class and, you know, I mean, so many points when you, especially you were saying that, you know, new bhaktas and they are very enthusiastic about serving, but if as soon as the service is given, they'll ask for how long. And I was just putting myself there. I feel the same way. I may project so much of bhakti, but, you know, when the real service comes, first thing, like, how long do I need to do it? So it is like, you know, I have read this quote that spirituality is about unmasking yourself. And the more we get to see ourselves, the through spirituality is the only way we can, you know, to the outside world, we may show so many faces. But, you know, when it gets through scriptures, like right now in the morning in Bhakti Sangha Japa group, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, and how, I don't know if I should, what word should be used, how truth it is. It's at the time it's so bitter to know yourself, but at the same time it is so much needed, because this is the only human life that we can do something about it, and if anything has to be done, it can be done now and onwards. But my question is, Prabhu, sometimes I feel like, you know, while like there are people who are there for 20 years, 25 years, they have gone somewhere, I'm always in fear. I think, what if I cannot make it? I'm always scared, because, you know, so many years for me, I'm speaking, that being into non-devotee category, then devotee category. What if I don't get a chance to at least 50% of my life is a devotee, so that, you know, I have half the chance. So how to keep ourselves in a very composed and yet, you know, very determined way to continue our devotional service, Prabhu?
The very famous story which you would have heard, I will repeat that. A lecture in which Prabhupada said, one has to be 100% Krishna conscious for us to go back home, back to Godhead. Then Prabhupada came down to 90%, then 80%, then 70%. I hope you must have heard about that. So after all these things, the end part somebody recently shared was very interesting. One devotee finally went to Srila Prabhupada's room. And so I said, Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada came down till 70%. Even if you're 70% Krishna conscious, you can go back home, back to Godhead. So then this person finally went to Srila Prabhupada in his room, knocked on his room, offered his dandavat pranams and said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm so sorry. I'm very much afraid that I won't be even able to be 70% perfect in my Krishna consciousness. So what am I supposed to do? So Prabhupada said, you please catch hold of my dhoti. I know the shortcut way to take you to Krishna. So, I mean, I don't know if this statement may sound funny, but it actually has a very profound philosophy underlying this. We may be toitering here and there. This is not an excuse to be, you know, lethargic or lax. This is a very reinforcing statement. So long as we are latching on to that aspect, that only aspect. That's why I said the last part, 5th reflection, is very close to my heart, because that is, this lecture is finished in 1 hour time. Maybe my reflections preparation may have added another 1 hour, whatever that is. But what is going, this 2 hours, nothing, no transformation is going to happen within me, at least not as expected, because still a lot more attachments that need to be relinquished. But then what is the hope? That dhoti, I have to constantly ensure, am I just holding on to that dhoti? Am I just holding on to that lotus feet? Am I just holding on to that process? Someone in the process. You know, Ravindra Sur Prabhu once asked Prabhupada, which is more important, book Bhagavata or devotee Bhagavata? So Prabhupada says, devotee Bhagavata, because he can tweak your ears and drag you to the lotus feet of Krishna. So whenever, you know, I hear this word, lend your ears to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, I used to always remember this. I'm lending my ears not only to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but allowing mind to be tweaked, to be brought to the lotus feet of Krishna. So the understanding here is, half of the time, the obstacle in our journey is us. So in spite of us, if we have to still make it to Krishna, we have to give that authority to someone. Not that we should become an honest fool and not think, but we should give that privilege of someone to correct us, point out to us without we being prejudiced about anyone, and have some patience. Because Advaitacharya waited for 50 plus years. 50 plus years consecutively, Advaitacharya performed Shaligrama Puja before Mahaprabhu appeared. Advaitacharya is Krishna, I mean Vishnu himself, Sadashiv. He is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. But then Satyanandan Maharaj was explaining one class that one aspect of our prayer is also to have patience. Rakshishyati Vishwaso, have confidence. In this chapter also Prabhupada writes, he is absolutely confident that he is eventually going to make it to Krishna. If you have told Krishna, Krishna, I love you, and you are doing your things in a, you know, best possible manner, then Krishna is going to ensure you that you are going to get to him. It might be through some, you know, cruise mode or a bumpy ride, depends upon how much we are cooperative or not. But we are definitely going to make it to Krishna. This is for sure. Because Neha Bikrama Nasosti Pratya Vayo Na Vidyate. So to keep us motivated, we need to keep hearing these stories. We need to keep hearing such motivational things. That, yes, yes, I have to just hold on to the dhoti of Srila Prabhupada. That devotee got so much relieved that we have got finally a shortcut to go to Krishna. So we do have that shortcut access even now available. So hold on to Srila Prabhupada's dhoti. Tomorrow when you go to temple, just surrender to Srila Prabhupada, offer some flower. I'm not sure if a temple authority will allow you to, you know, grab Srila Prabhupada's dhoti, but at least you can touch his lotus feet. And at least in your home, you can hold on to Srila Prabhupada's dhoti and say, yes, I am with you, sir. Take me wherever you want. I am with you. Does it make sense, Madhari?
Completely, Prabhu. Every day we go to temple, and during Guru Puja, I tell Srila Prabhupada, you know, if I go astray, please pull me back, but don't leave me. So that goes completely what you're saying, Prabhu. But it will become more intense. So if you bless me, Prabhu, thank you so much.
The one small addition is that, you know, instead of Prabhupada asking Prabhupada to hold on to you, you tell Prabhupada, allow me to hold on to your dhoti. So,
okay. Sure, sure. So thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Please bless me, Prabhupada.
Any other thoughts, comments, reflections?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dhanat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Prabhu, thank you for your realizations. I had one question on a point where we were saying that it is something or someone that we look to blame, whereas it is something faulty in our own consciousness that is ingrained, but we don't identify that. So I would like to understand this in a way that I don't tell myself that, hey, I'm looking for somebody or something to latch onto or blame.
The context is very important, because generally, in general, we are self-obsessed people. In general, we love us. And we either think that what I'm doing is correct to my circumstances, to my situation, to my whatever, you know, surroundings. So I am correct. Rest, everyone else is somebody, they need to understand me. That's how in general we think. We want others to understand us rather than we try to put the... It's seldom we blame us. Generally, when you go and, you know, sit in any personality development conversation where they ask you to introspect, they ask you to go deeper within this, that, all jargons in this so-called, seminars, which are half of them are derived from Vedic experiences. So we get to realize that we have always been very biased when we concluded certain things. Biased being, we took us outside of the equation and looked at everyone else and assessed and think how this person could have been better for me to have done this. How this person. But if we are slightly more honest to ourselves, then probably we will also count, had I behaved, had I responded, had I conducted myself in a particular manner, probably the net result could have been different. If you think somebody misbehaved with you, and with all due respects, I'm not discounting some willful cheaters, defaulters, bad people, sometimes we become victim of for whatever unfortunate reasons. But all I'm saying is, because this types of topic that we are discussing are more self-introspective, because we have to go deeper within, because devotion is about us and our activities, our consciousness, our attitude. I used to always say devotion is you, Guru, Krishna, and the spiritual world that you are aiming to go. So this, in this rest, everybody else is just a passerby. Permanent players are you, Guru, Krishna, Bhagavad Dham. So you have to only count on these four. Rest, everybody is just a passerby. Whatever they give or they take, it is just a contribution for refining yourself. If you are going after them, your agenda is lost. If your agenda is to move up in the ladder and go close to Golok Vrindavan Dham, then you should only work on these things. Yes, if as a part of your process, if you have to go to deal with people, win them, help them as a service given to you, that's a different agenda. But if you are getting influenced, if you are going to color yourself based on their behavior, then it is something for us to introspect on. So what I was trying to say is, in the layer of purification that Srila Prabhupada is talking about, it is extremely important. We layerly, also these layers is going to expose several hidden vices, which may not look like a vice, but it may look like a good quality, but it's actually become a vice at some point in time. So we need to kind of get rid of all of them before we get fully situated in, you know, ragatmika, natural attachment. That is why we need to keep remembering about that vraja personality in separation and yearn for such an association. Slowly walk in that path that he or she lays, and definitely develop a love towards the Supreme Lord naturally. So blaming others is considered a childish one, especially in management. They tell, if a CEO blames the employees, then he's a boss, not a leader. When he gives credit to his employees, then he is a leader, not a boss. So you have to be, as you grow in more in devotional service, we have to give credit where the credit is due, and we have to take responsibility where it is needed. Does that make sense, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu, makes sense. And my follow-up to that was that if someone is at a stage that they have identified that, yes, had I have done something this way, things would have improved. But we have to move on from your past, right? And then let's say if someone is sitting on their present and is aware of all these vices and is trying to move ahead and practice their Krishna consciousness. So during that time when you are self-reflecting, so consideration is that, oh, I have done so many things wrong in life. I have blamed so many people. But essentially, yes, there was some need in myself. And then now I'm sitting with that I'm sitting on that situation, and then I'm trying to self-analyze. I'm also at the same time self-condemning myself that why did I do, what did I do, and how to move on from there. Though I acknowledge that yes, I have made mistakes, or things have gone wrong according to some situations, things have been done in the past. So how do you go ahead from there, Prabhu, rather than, you know, self-abusing yourself or self-condemning yourself, and at the same very time, nice. Grow in bhakti?
If you have studied the early days of ISKCON history, all the first set of devotees, they were all hippies. I'm sure you might know what hippies mean. There is nothing in this world as abominable as what they could have done. Apart from murdering, every other regulatory principles, everything else, the, you know, nonsense is the level they have done. So what Prabhupada made, Prabhupada did four things on them. Prabhupada, first of all, gave them a process which will eventually purify them of their past, gave them a target towards which they have to run, gave them an education by which they will carry their education of the past, live in the present, and go towards the target, and made sure that gave enough inspiration so that they can go out and tell everyone that please don't repeat this mistake again. So I guess that's applicable. All these four are applicable to us. We cannot, should not be self-guilty in such a state that we become dysfunctional. What has happened in the past, whether it is knowingly or unknowingly, we have not done worse, you know, crime like Valmiki. We have not done worse crime like Mrigari. We have not done worse crime like, I mean, even if we had done, let's say, even if we had done, Mrigari was forgiven, Valmiki was forgiven, all the hippies are forgiven. So we are forgiven. Krishna is ready with forgiveness. He is with open arms. All he is asking you is, please don't take undue advantage of my forgiving nature. In the sense, say less sorry, more thank you, rather than more sorry, less thank you. We know by saying sorry, Krishna will forgive. He will forgive. If you say second time, he'll forgive. Third time, he'll forgive. But if you do 300,000 times, sorry, but never once you behave in a manner to say thank you to the Lord, that's not fair. And I'm sure from the sense, from the direction where you're coming from, so that understanding, you are not voluntarily going to do that. But so self-making, you know, self-guilt or putting ourselves into a guilt zone is not what is required. Once you are surrendered, once you have accepted this process, the past is completely cleansed. Jagai and Madai's mistakes of rooms and rooms and rooms and files of, you know, their mistakes are all wiped out just by, you know, one mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So that is all done. So we are clean. So those four things you remember. Number one, the process cleans the past. Number two, for sure, the target is to be remembered. Number three, Prabhupada ensured that we have to have enough education to remember the past, not to repeat, so no more of sorries and more of thank yous, so that we can walk in that path progressively, not, you know, oppositely. And last but not least, we take along few, otherwise they will also go in the manner that we had been. So ensure that take along few with your experience and share the words of wisdom and experience to them, so that there is a meaning of your existence, as well as this is a very good redemption for whatever nonsense we would have done. At least we are helping 50 souls. As they say that for one sin, you do, you know, few dhana, few charity to compensate that. I mean, just in case of arithmetic calculation, if you think you have hurt 10 people, You preach and win and save and serve 100 people, at least as a solace, as a, you know, compensation. Not, it is not such gross, you know, comparison, but at least it is to help you understand where I'm coming from. Does it make sense?
Yes, Prabhu. So we are trying to say while we are at this stage, we have to go about these four things rather than sitting in the same loop and repeating, but have a progressive target.
Absolutely. There is no point in staying in the past. That is not even part of our philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Our past is cleansed in 2 seconds. Hurry. If you say the word hurry, your past is cleansed. All the past sinful activities are cleansed. Hurry means one who cleanses the heart. And the explanation is given to the amount of sinful reactions that you could not even imagine. That much cleansing you will do. So I'm sure we have a highly hopeful life ahead. Having said that, let's not take it lethargically. That's my third point. That's why I add this. The third point of this, the four-pointed approach is we need to constantly remember the lessons from the past, not the episodes of the past. Episodes are useless. You know, this body is gone, the episode is gone. But the karma is going to carry with us now. So that's why we should make sure that the lessons are not missed. Okay?
Yes, please. Yes. Okay. And one more question before we sign
sure.
out.
Sure, yeah, so I'm available.
Yeah, thank you so much. While we are doing this 4-step process, if one is required to, you know, get rid of or let go of some situations or people or circumstance in that process, and one is not sure that whether that's the right step or not, literally not sure whether to, you know, step out of it or just stay in that situation or circumstance of people around surrounding you. In that position, what would help?
Philosophically, I'll answer you, but personally and practically, I would sincerely encourage you to consult, because sometimes philosophical application to contexts might slightly vary. So philosophically, it is said, asking for forgiveness and extended amount of chanting can cleanse a person from every impression of the past. Both in terms of, basically, for example, when I ask for forgiveness, not by lip service, but from my heart. If I ask for forgiveness, sometimes, you know, I may carry the, why should I ask forgiveness for his mistake, her mistake? You know, all those are details. Either ask for forgiveness if you think the mistake is yours, or ask for forgiveness if you think that you could have behaved, whatever reason, I mean, for the, you know, things. So asking for forgiveness, if you think you are a mistake and if you want to repent for it, there's a chance, go and ask for forgiveness and square off and move on. For some reason that is not possible, not doable, all practical situations are there, then extended amount of chanting. This is, okay, if you want, I'll add one more serious, you know, component to this, which we always suggest to every reformation of some devotee's situation, is about taking up some menial service. Because these three things purifies a person of all conditioning. Because the conditioning is because of our ahankara, pride. These three things will crush our ahankara to the core. Number one, asking for forgiveness. Number two, extended amount of chanting. Number three, performing menial services. Menial services is something that is, you know, where you don't attach your profile, where you don't attach mm-hmm. your name, fame, tags, you know, done by, you know, so-and-so. You're not even seen. You're in the shoe stand. You're in, you know, washing the toilets. You're mopping the floor. You're doing some service which is our menial, no profile attached, no names attached. No rewards expected, just service. Make sense?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
All the best.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Mataji. There was one question. There's a hands raised up.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
I'm just going back to, you know, where Srila Prabhupada said 90, 80, 70%. So I'm just wondering if that really just means, you know, that you just try your best from wherever you are and, you know.
Yes, genuinely. Not just that, you know, aim for only 70%. Try your best with your best of your ability. And, you know, and I mean, the number of percentages is about yayatam mam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajami. Krishna will reciprocate back. Our endeavor is something we give our best shot. And that's when the devotee went to Prabhupada saying that I don't think by the definition of the shastras, I will reach even 70%. That's when Prabhupada says, just follow me. You'll reach there. Actually speaking, we don't get qualification. We are given qualification. Seva adhikara diye. Adhikara means entitlement is given to us by our authorities. We think, because in the materialistic context, we always think that we gain them by my qualification. But here in Krishna consciousness, it acts other way around. It is, we are bestowed with some benediction. We are bestowed by our higher ups. So, if at all you have to see Krishna, be with Krishna, it has to be enabled by somebody above us. So, from that perspective, we can only try and rest. Somebody else have to only be qualified. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction, second chapter, if I'm right, that just because you did 16 rounds, got up for Mangala Arati, and did all your wonderful, you know, morning programs, does not give you an entitlement to your devotional service. It is prerogative of Krishna. If he only wants to give you, he will give you. And he will give you when you are recommended. And you are recommended only when you follow someone. And if you follow someone, you are all good. Make sense? You are muted if you are talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was saying that, you know, referring to your statement about, you know, it's not just about following all of the items of sadhana properly, because if it were just about that, then that would make this a mechanical process. And it's not a mechanical process. It's a process of our endeavor coupled with Krishna's reciprocation for that, right?
What I meant is that sometimes we might not be able to do by our design. Just because I am born in a certain circumstances, certain family, certain upbringing, certain situations, there may be so many external shortcomings that might apparently hinder. But when we are enabled, empowered, then we will be able to cross over. Dhruva Maharaj is saying that. Dhruva Maharaj, when he met the Supreme Lord after 4 months of tapasya, he said that, I thought, what a stupid person I was. I thought sitting on my father's lap is some sort of an achievement. So it is like a, you know, glass misunderstood as a diamond. The moment Krishna's conch touched on his forehead, he could compose, he could sing songs and glorify. The whole perspective got changed. That is why the prayer says, Pangum langayate girim mukam karoti vachalam, Pangum langayate girim yat kripadam maham mande. If you have the blessings, then even a lame man can climb a mountain. So what I meant is, your apparent disqualification, apparent inability, apparent imperfections are handled in some way by the blessings quotient. That doesn't mean that, you know, that's why Prabhupada says in this purport that it is not that somebody is situated in the stage of bhava, they are actually not following the rules and regulations. They do follow, but they are all subtly ingrained in their system, that it is part of their life rather than they are just following some rigid rules or something like that. Make sense?
Well, actually, that last sentence, can you repeat that?
what I meant was, Prabhupada writes in this particular in the chapter, saying that sometimes people may think, I'll just read that portion. Indeed, he always thinks of his special devotional service and attachment. Such a real devotee's attachment does not violate the regulative principles of devotional service, and he adheres to them strictly. Yet within his mind, he always thinks of a particular attachment. The point is, he will still follow rules. He'll still follow things, even though he is, imbued with attachment, love, and care. What I meant is, in terms of our inabilities, sometimes we may think that I am not doing that. I am dependent on the mercy. But when the mercy component comes upon us, our inabilities and so-called shortcomings are taken care. We are in the stages of advanced Krishna consciousness, along with all our shortcomings completely addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the way you had phrased it before about the fact that if we are trying our best, then it takes the blessing of someone higher than, I guess more elevated. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Can you repeat that one?
I mean, not the exact statement. What I meant was that...
No, it was just a very logical sequence that you gave,
Probably you can rewind it.
It was something like if we are sincerely taken to the process, even with our shortcomings, then the person who we surrender to will bless us. I think I'll have to go back to the recording, but you have put it in a very logical, nice way. And I just wanted to hear it again.
So,
yeah.
Any other thoughts, comments? Okay. So looks like we are good now. So thank you so much for patiently hearing this discussion. And it's wonderful always to be in this Sangha. It's really a Bhakti Sangha where, Bhakti gets cultivated. So thank you so much for having me here. See you all next time whenever Krishna allows.
Thank you, Prabhuji. With your permission, we can end the call.
Thank you so much, right. Prabhuji, for beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, very for enlightening class today. And also very nice instructions. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future. And we'll end the call here. Mancha kalpata rupyasya kripa sindhu dehi vacha patidanam pavane vaishnava vaishnava namo Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, His Grace Ramgiri Dhari Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Beautiful.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all the devotees for joining today's class. We'll meet again tomorrow. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.